Welcome back to the Community Online Podcast. Remember, you can always find us on Sundays streaming live at communityonline.tv. We hope to see you there.
We all know what it's like to get stuck, don't we? The last time I got stuck, I was at my sister's house in Ohio. My sister lives out in the country in a log home built atop a hill. And she has a gravel driveway that dips down from the road and then has a steep incline up to her garage. Well, it's all fun and games until a snowstorm turns the entire driveway into an icy toboggan chute. My sister had told me, when you turn into the driveway, you're gonna have to gun it and come up hard, which I did, but about three-fourths of the way up the incline, I started to have visions of crashing through her garage and let off the gas. And, well, I quickly felt the car lose momentum, pause for a moment, and then start a slow, backward slide down the driveway. Do you know what helpless feels like? There was nothing I could do but resign myself to my fate as my car accelerated in its descent and eventually dumped me off the bottom of the driveway into a deep snowdrift. I was stuck. And nothing but a $125 tow truck was going to get me out. We all know what it's like to get stuck. And sometimes it's no laughing matter. Sometimes we get stuck and it seems like nothing can get us out. We can get stuck in bitterness and unforgiveness, stuck in insecurity and fear. We can get stuck in lust and pornography, stuck in jealousy and envy. We can get stuck in hopelessness and despair. There isn't a tow truck that can pull us out of those things. So what do we do when we're stuck? Well, today, we're going to look at a story of a man who was stuck and couldn't get out. And I think we'll learn from his story where we can turn when we get stuck. Today, we're continuing in our series, Encounter. All throughout this series, we're digging into the encounters people had with Jesus that are recorded in the book of Mark. As we examine these stories, I want to challenge you to put yourself in the shoes of the people who met Jesus. Let's try to understand what that encounter meant for those people in that time, and then take hold of what the encounter can teach us about our relationship with Jesus today. Today, we're going to look at a story that might not be as familiar to many of us. Admittedly, it's a strange story. It's probably not a story you read to your kids at bedtime, and it's likely a story we don't naturally see ourselves in. And yet, it's an intriguing story that has a lot to tell us about who Jesus is and what it's like to encounter him. It's a story about a demon-possessed man. It's found in Mark chapter 5, and it begins like this. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Like I said, this is a strange story. It likely won't ever be made into a Disney movie, and you might be thinking to yourself, how am I supposed to put myself in the shoes of this man? I mean, this story can sound primitive and unrelatable, but let's not dismiss this man so quickly. The idea of being possessed by an impure spirit sounds strange to our modern ears, especially in Western culture, but there are a lot of people in this world for whom this story would feel all too real. It makes me wonder if in our culture, the evil one's best strategy is to remain hidden. After all, don't forget that the writers of Scripture, like Peter, who would have been present when Jesus encountered this demon-possessed man, Peter warns us, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We have a spiritual enemy. Now, I can set your minds at ease a bit by reminding you that Christ followers cannot be possessed by evil powers because we are in Christ. We belong to Jesus. We are Christ's possession. However, just because we can't be owned by the demonic doesn't mean that we aren't still vulnerable to the influence of the evil one. He can tempt us. He can harass us. He can oppress us. And while he can't possess us, he can still gain what Paul calls a foothold in our lives. Because let's face it, while we may not know exactly what it would be like to be the man in this story, we all know what it's like to battle inner demons, those areas of our lives that we can't break free from, the places where it seems some power or principality has a hold on us, the places where we're stuck. This is what Paul means by a foothold, or as it's sometimes called, a stronghold. A stronghold is an area of our life where we consciously or unconsciously let the enemy keep us stuck. And these strongholds are dangerous for multiple reasons. For one, we often don't realize that there is a spiritual battle going on in the shadows behind these struggles. We don't recognize the true enemy coming against us, and so we continue day after day unprepared for the battle. Also, we usually keep these strongholds secret. They often carry with them shame or guilt, and so we keep them locked away, away from other people, which is exactly what the evil one wants us to do. What are these strongholds? Well, some common ones include bitterness, holding on to resentment, unforgiveness, a desire for revenge. Control, trying to manipulate people and circumstances. Idolatry, letting greed and selfishness lead us into endless accumulation and consumerism. Jealousy, holding on to a judgmental spirit, which often plays itself out through gossip or even slander. Sexual immorality, when we're controlled by our desires, giving ourselves over to lust. Insecurity, nurturing feelings of inferiority or inadequacy. Fear, allowing ourselves to be engulfed with worry about our lives or our future. Or pride, seeing ourselves as better and more deserving than others. These are just some of the common strongholds we can get stuck in. Do you see yourself in any of these? I do. This past year, I was hurt by someone that I considered a good friend, and I felt like I'd been generous with my time and my heart and trying to walk with this friend through a difficult season of life. And in the end, I felt like I had been used and even accused. And I know that right now, I am susceptible to letting bitterness become a stronghold in my life. What about you? Where are you vulnerable to the influence of the evil one? Like the man in the story, who lived outside the town in the tombs and cut himself, these strongholds can leave us isolated and are often self-destructive. As Professor Eugene Lowry said, we may see a mirror of ourselves in this disturbed man. Beaten down by others, divided against ourselves, a civil war raging within, living among the gloomy tombs of life and feeling all alone. But what might happen when we allow Jesus access to these strongholds in our lives? Well, let's see what happened when the demon-possessed man encountered Jesus. Jesus gets out of the boat, and when he, the demon-possessed man, saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Keep in mind, everyone else kept their distance from this man. He was relegated to the tombs, a place considered unclean. In those days, contact with a grave was thought to make a person unclean, so no one else wanted anything to do with this man. But Jesus allows the man to come near. He looks beyond the man's appearance, beyond the man's dangerous behavior, and he wants to help. In fact, notice in the last verse that Jesus has already commanded the spirit to come out of him. Jesus isn't afraid. He's ready to join the man in his battle against the dark forces that have tortured him. When this man encounters Jesus, he experiences Jesus's compassion. And this is so important for you and I to understand. When we are confronted with stuff in our life that isn't healthy or good, often our instinct is to hide that stuff away. We try to keep it in a metaphorical tomb. Maybe we're afraid of it. Maybe we're afraid other people will be afraid of it. But locked away, it only gives the stronghold more power in our lives. But when we have the courage to bring it into the open, we too will find Jesus's compassion. He wants to help. He wants to set us free. So the demon-possessed man experiences Jesus' compassion. He falls at Jesus' feet. And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Now, this is the creepy movie moment of the story. Like, what do you mean, "we are many"? This name Legion is significant. A Roman legion consisted of 6,000 men. A whole army was torturing this man. But they weren't a match for Jesus. Now, I warned you, this is a crazy story, so take a look at what happens next. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." Now, the demons know that not only does Jesus have the power to cast them out, he controls their destination. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. All right, this is not a PETA-friendly story. And admittedly, stuff like this in the Bible is hard to understand, but let's not get caught up in what happened to the pigs. What I want us to see is that when this man encountered Jesus, not only did he experience Jesus' compassion, he experienced Jesus' power. Like the man in this story, we can feel defeated by our strongholds. Maybe you've been struggling with that stronghold for so long that you have just resigned yourself, that there is no way out. You believe that you'll always be stuck. Or perhaps you're on the opposite side of the spectrum. Maybe you're in a bit of denial about the havoc that stronghold is causing in your life, and you underestimate your opponent. Whether that stronghold is an addiction, a toxic thought, or something else, like you tell yourself, "It's fine, I've got this." Like sometimes we fail to realize that the enemy we're facing has way more power than we give him credit for. And many times we don't realize it until it's too late and we're trapped, we're stuck, and we don't have the power to free ourselves. But our strongholds are no match for Jesus's power. Jesus has the power. He demonstrated it when he drove the demons out of this man, and even more when he defeated death and resurrected. What might happen to your stronghold if you brought it to Jesus, if you bowed down at his feet, humbled yourself, and asked for help? I believe that you would encounter his power. He can do something in your life that right now might seem impossible. He can do for you what he did for the man in this story. I don't think the demon-possessed man or anyone who knew him thought that this would be possible. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. See, Jesus delivers the man from his torment, and he experiences a radical transformation. The man experiences Jesus's deliverance. Many of us are stuck in a continual loop of unwanted behaviors and thoughts, which are likely coming from a deeper rooted stronghold. We try to ignore it. We try to manage our way around it, but what we often can't do is imagine a life without it. Imagine a life of freedom and thriving. But look at the man in this story. Imagine that type of deliverance in your life. Allow yourself to envision it. What would that look like for you? This man, he's restored to his community. When he goes back home, they see him in his right mind, and he is given the opportunity to tell them about all that Jesus did for him. Mark tells us that the people listened to him and were amazed. Talk about a new life. Relationships restored, purpose activated, freedom, a new beginning. Deep down, our souls crave what Jesus gave this man. Compassion, power, deliverance. Would you dare to believe that that is what Jesus is offering you today? Now, there is one detail in the story that I skipped over that I want to come back to now. You see, this man encountered Jesus and found freedom, but not everyone in the story had that same kind of encounter. Mark tells us those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. I find that last sentence to be one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Rather than encounter Jesus for themselves, they pleaded with him to go away. What could have led them to do something like that? Fear. I think it was fear. Perhaps they were afraid to face the strongholds in their own lives. Perhaps they were afraid of what others might think if they were honest with their struggles. Perhaps they were afraid of how an encounter with Jesus might disrupt their lives. Perhaps they were afraid to trust that the power of Jesus could indeed free them too. This story challenges all of us to answer the question, which encounter with Jesus will I choose? Will I invite Jesus into the stronghold in my life and walk with him to freedom? Or in fear, will I ask him to go away? In these next few moments, we're going to give you some space to encounter Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a time of personal reflection and prayer. And as we enter into this time, we're going to put a list of common strongholds on the screen, but this time with corresponding freedoms. In these next few moments, ask God to reveal to you through his Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and mind, if there is a stronghold in your life where you are giving the evil one a foothold. Maybe it's a stronghold listed on the screen. Maybe it's something else. Open yourself to what God wants to point out to you and begin to imagine what it would be like to experience the freedom that Jesus can bring. Let's take a few moments to hear from God. Now, what we're going to ask you to do is pray and ask God to deliver us from our strongholds. I encourage you to join me in praying the prayer that will be on the screen, out loud if you are able. Name the stronghold in your life and claim the freedom Jesus can bring. Let's pray this prayer together. I recognize the power you have given me by the shed blood of Jesus to demolish spiritual strongholds in my life. I confess that I have given a foothold to sin, and I renounce the stronghold of... I claim the freedom of... By the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, through your power, I take back the ground I surrendered to the enemy. I pray you will enable me to trust and obey your Holy Spirit so that this area of my life will be in conformity to the image of Christ. Amen. When you come to Jesus, you will encounter his compassion, his power, and his deliverance. Brothers and sisters, you do not have to stay stuck. Jesus wants to set you free.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Our mission is to help you find your way back to God. And by listening today, you've already taken your first step. And we'd love to help you take a next step in your relationship with God, the church, and the world. It's how we're all embracing the flourishing life that Jesus talks about, a life we call U+. Visit communitychristian.org to take a next step, learn more, give generously, and plan your visit. We hope to see you on a Sunday soon.